Welcome to the Spodcasters, the only online sports talk show devoted exclusively to University of Kansas athletics. I'm Kevin Romery, and while most of you might know me as the 6 News Sports Director, in my spare time, I'm a Spodcaster. Each week, you can join me, Journal World Sports Editor Tom Keegan, and show host Andy Samuelson on the Spodcasters at KUSports.com. We offer our creative takes on the latest developments in the KU sports world, plus we offer special guests such as Journal World KU basketball beat writer Gary Bedore, whose insight on the Jayhawk basketball world is unparalleled. Spodcasters, sports talk, online, anytime.
Welcome back to the Spodcasters. We got an abbreviated version today, probably because Tom Keegan's not here. So another special edition, another Micah Downs getting his release, you know, another edition about Micah. Let's actually talk about
Slam
Texas
on the
Tech.
Brakes.
No more Micah.
Full brakes. Good
no
luck.
No more Micah.
Good luck, Coach Few.
We might talk into that. Michael later.
Better idea. Let's talk about Brandon Rush.
That's true.
How about that?
Well, after the game last night, he said he wanted to get on SportsCenter, and I think he did.
I think what he meant to say was he wanted to get on Spodcasters.
That's true.
And he is. He makes the appearance. Andy Samuelson, along with DJ Wetter and Kevin Romery, and you mentioned no Tom Keegan, so that's about 20 minutes that we can kill, right?
Yeah,
right.
We'll keep it.
That's usually his airtime. Well, let's talk about it, guys. Last night, how impressive was this victory? I mean, it was... This team just gets better and better. I think it's ready for the next step, which is what we get on Sunday, but they were fantastic last night.
I'm excited about the next step. Oklahoma is going to be an awesome game. Finally a chance for KU to prove themselves against some worthy competition. But as you said, let's talk about last night in Texas Tech, and really KU leads from start to finish, and they never trail in this game. Brandon Rush plays a complete basketball game out there, throws down some amazing dunks, some big-time highlights, but more importantly, the team, they played together. They got some buckets inside. Sasha Khan looked all right. He was the recipient of some great passes from Julian Wright, and really just an excellent overall game by this team. Very exciting for Jayhawk fans.
And the Jayhawk offense has been amazing lately. It's really been spectacular. During this 4-game winning streak, the Jayhawks have scored 90 points a game. All right, we're talking about Big 12 play here. We're not talking about Utah Valley State, which seems to make it onto our show line. We're not talking about the teams that you've never heard of. We're talking about 4 Big 12 schools. During that stretch, KU was shot 56% from the floor. This was supposed to be a poor shooting young basketball team, and that just is not the case.
A high-low team that plays in the 50s? What happened,
yeah.
What happened to that?
I think they dropped the low. It's all about the high.
Freshmen and sophomores, guys.
They're
doing
getting
this, score 90 points a game. That is flat-out ridiculous.
Yeah, last night the seniors combined 4. Let's see, Jeff Hawkins had 3. Christian Moody scored 2.
Vincent got a 3.
And Stephen Vincent hit 3. So the seniors combined for 8.
And as remarkable as Rush was, probably the biggest thing out of last night's game was the big men. Not a huge, you know, the one person just was out of their minds, but a collective performance that you kind of hadn't seen for a while, because we've been getting, or, God, what is this we? DJ, what have you done to
you're
me?
You're wearing off
I haven't
on
said
each other.
We for 8 weeks.
Well, you're wearing a Kansas basketball shirt now.
I don't know.
The deal?
Hey, by the way, happy birthday, Andy
yeah,
Sam.
It says Andy Sam's birthday. Send birthday cards to the Spodcasters. Just don't ask where he's celebrating.
Just or a beer, whatever, you know.
You can't email beer yet, but when you can, yeah. Andy Sam will be the luckiest man.
He'll
on
be
earth.
The first one to discover that.
Kansas has been getting a good performance out of Darnell Jackson lately.
How many times have we mentioned his name on this podcast in the last few weeks? I think combined, he's the favorite of all of us, of the big guys. And last night, just efficient. You know, 2 for 3 from the floor. Well, no, these are the hat ones.
But really, yeah.
You've got the halftime stats
now,
there.
Look.
The senior. Oh, okay.
They're full down
Speaking
here.
Speaking of the first
5
half.
Of 7 from the floor. 5 of 7 in the game. 4 offensive boards. 4 defensive boards. 10 points. Throws in a 16
better.
Minutes and just a really well-rounded game from D-Jax.
That's true. But I was going to say, you know, you know what you're getting in Darnell almost every game now. How about the play, Sasha Khan, early 10 points in the first half, really kind of established that.
Well, it was interesting last night. What Coach Self had said was that Sasha, for some reason, plays a lot better when Julian's in the game. It's hard to describe, really, but we saw the best and the worst of Julian Wright last night in about a 30-second span. You see him on one trip down the floor, just throw it into no man's land where there's 3 defenders in the way. There's no chance it's going to get through. Then the next trip down, you see him make a beautiful move and lay it in, or he makes a beautiful move.
Draws
the defenders and drops it off to Sasha. But for whatever reason, Sasha has a much easier time catching passes from Julian Wright. And when he makes the catch, but when Julian makes the right decision, he gets his teammates very easy shots. And last night,
Julian, 3 for 5 from the floor. He only played 14 minutes, but he did have 3 assists in those 14 minutes, and we're talking about a guy that's 6'8".
And when Julian Wright plays the game like it should be played, he makes Bill Self's high low offense look really, really good. I mean, how about I ran two plays in the highlights last night. Looked like the same play twice. Early on, Julian dumps it down to Sasha, hits him perfectly in stride. Sasha does the spin move and lays it in. The Texas Tech defender didn't know where the ball was. He was looking the other way.
He thought he already shot it. He did.
He was not sure where the ball was. And the second time, hit Sasha in stride, same thing, high low, down low, and Sasha's just able to hammer home the dunk there. So, boy, he makes that look good. And Sasha plays a lot better when he gets involved in the offense early, much like Julian Wright. So if these two have to key on each other, both need to get started early. And that may be a key as the season progresses, that Wright and Khan are able to get that motor going in the 3 and 4 or 5 spots down there.
And maybe more than anybody else last night, just from a pure confidence standpoint, you have to think that C.J. Giles progressed. Not a lot of minutes. I think he got 11 minutes, 6 points.
And he didn't exactly play against the star players for Texas Tech, but just anything good to happen. Coach mentioned it last night. He said, you know, some guys think they make a layup and they're on fire. Some guys think they make a free throw and they're on fire. So the next time they touch the ball, they're looking to do something positive. And obviously, it's been a long time since CJ's done anything really positive. But last night, you mentioned 7 rebounds, I think, is what stands out in my mind. And again, most of his minutes and most of his production happened when this game was over. But regardless, he needed something good to happen. And let's hope, you know, maybe in 2 weeks we can look back to this game and say, yeah, that was the turning point
for CJ. How about the biggest stat, Kansas rebound advantage? What was it there, 55-28? Ridiculous.
It was ridiculous the whole game.
It was insane. Let me go back to Giles one more time. If he gives you those boards, and then we'll talk about the rebounds, if he gives you those boards and the blocks like he has been, that's all that this Kansas team needs from CJ right now. They don't need a ton of points from Giles, but they could use 4 blocks and 10 boards from him a game. That would be great, especially with as well as the guards have played. And then that rebounding advantage that you mentioned, Andy.
Well, Kansas had 12 offensive boards in the first half, and what Texas Tech have? They had 12 rebounds.
And guys, I don't know if you saw it. I was watching the game here back at the station while you both enjoyed it a little bit closer. But Bobby Knight says at halftime, look, I flat out asked my guys, does anybody want a rebound? Does anybody care? And for the first time all year, Kansas on the boards made another team just look horrible, made it look like they did not care out there. And that was a huge difference because the guards weren't shooting in the first half as well as they had. They've been on fire the last couple games.
They got the shots. They just weren't falling. I mean, it was the same type of looks, but they just weren't going down last night.
Exactly. But when you have D-Jax falling, when you have, Julian Wright early sneaks in there, lays one in, and just the offensive boards can make a team look so much better on the offensive end.
It's funny you mention that. Really only one guy struggled shooting the ball. Mario was 4 for 9, but it was Russell Robinson. He was 2 for 12, 0 for 3 from long range. But what he did was he had 6 assists and 0 turnovers. And so he had a non-good game shooting the basketball, but was still in this game from start to finish, and that's something that was missing earlier.
And what they combined for 14 points, I believe, but combined for 13 assists, 2 turnovers. You know, that three-guard combo with Rush, Rob, and Chalmers have been averaging close to 60 points the last 2 games. But they don't have to be the only ones who can score 60 points if they're going to be that good at distributing the ball.
And when Brandon Rush is knocking down 10 of 19 and 4 of 6 from long range, you don't want to be shooting anyway. He's the one that needs to keep taking those shots.
And 12 turnovers in the game, that is how, Kansas can play like that. Other teams.
Wouldn't you love to have that against Arizona?
Well, remember,
that was in the first 12 minutes.
Iowa State, how did Iowa State get back in there? KU outshot Iowa State. They played a better half, but, just too many turnovers, too many wild passes, even to start out the second half at times, even though there was that huge run, turnovers killed the Hawks. If they have 12 turnovers in some of these Big 12 games, watch out.
Forget it.
And really, you know, a lot of – obviously, KU fans are going to watch the game, but, you know, a lot of the attention, especially during the games, focusing on the legendary Bob Knight. And all Brandon Rush did was take that spotlight and shine it on himself, especially in the second half. How about that, I believe it was 41-second span where I think the play that really got him going is it looked like he went up for a layup and – got fouled, and they didn't like that too much. Responded with the three-pointer up top, the breakaway dunk where he threw it down. And then the lay-in.
He got nasty. And then the lay-in. And, and it's funny, that all happened after that 8-0 run that the Red Raiders went on to make it a 24-point game, which was the largest lead of the game, down to 16. And for just a minute you thought, here we go again. Here's that 5-6-7-minute drought that we've been seeing all season long. Coach Self calls the timeout. They call a set play. It's Brandon Rush running to the lane, getting a pick, heading straight to the top of the circle. He turned around, was wide open, got the basketball, drained it, and it was on from that point on. I mean, the worst loss for Knight at Texas Tech has been a 90-50 setback to Kansas with that great team a few years ago in the Big 12 tournament. Last night's game could have been worse if Bill Self just did not completely let off the gas.
They lost a little. What they lose by 35 to Texas earlier in the year. Clearly, this isn't Bob Knight's best team.
No.
But what is going on with Kansas? It just they really have seemed to turn it into another gear right now. And
well, the defense has been there all year. That's why this team leads in field goal percentage. It's been the turnovers and the shooting that's been letting down. But guys, those numbers, I said 90 points a game in the last four, 56% shooting from the field. That's not one half. That's not one game. That is four in a row. That is not coincidence anymore.
And no. Remember back to the beginning of the season when Coach Self said, hey, to members of the media, hey, watch out. There's going to be spurts here where we're not going to score a ton. There's going to be spurts where we don't play well. Those spurts, those runs are getting smaller and smaller and smaller. You mentioned the 8-0 run last night, Kevin. That was really the only spurt in the game where KU really struggled offensively. That is it. If those spurts and continue to minimize the turnovers, continue to minimize the rebounds come along to go along with that shooting percentage defense, this team is really a team that you do not want to play at the end of the Big 12 season, in the Big 12 tournament, and yes, in the NCAA tournament.
And Coach Self last night, one of the things he mentioned, somebody just asked him, you know, a question about how this team has progressed and what his feelings were and this and that. And he kind of looked up and said, well, do I seem a little more relaxed now? Absolutely. I mean, it's amazing the difference. And I think Coach Self, I think he knew this was possible. It was just a matter of when this was going to happen and when this team would finally take off. And sure, there's going to be a couple more eggs that this team will lay during this year. Sure. Yeah. But this is going to be more often than not what happens rather than the reverse, which is what we've seen the last couple
of weeks. And now, I mean, the last couple of weeks we've been talking, will they get in the NCAA tournament? I think that clearly has changed. They're in the NCAA tournament.
Question is,
you know, what seed, or better yet, what are they going to do in this Big 12 race? They might have a chance. I mean, with Oklahoma beating Texas, they do have the chance. They go to Texas. You know, if they don't lose another, really, Sunday is going to be the game, obviously.
Well, one game separates the top four teams right now in the Big 12, and KU tied for second, a half game out, so.
Well, not only tied for second, but advantage Kansas, because right. Kansas is tied with Colorado. Colorado has to come where?
To Allen Fieldhouse.
And also tied with Oklahoma. Where does Oklahoma have to come?
On the road.
Right here. I mean, Allen Fieldhouse, KU gets both of those games with the teams they're tied with. That's, you beat those teams, you got them, you're past them. There's only one other team up there to look at. You know, and obviously you got to take care of business. You got to win this weekend. But, boy, if you do that, you're sending a signal to the rest of the Big 12 that says, guys, we got off to a slow start, but it's on now. Where's Texas? You know,
and Coach,
is Texas a better team? Absolutely. Are you ready to play that game if you're a Kansas fan? You better believe it. Let's go to Austin. Let's find out.
And Coach Self, very diplomatic last night in the postgame press conference, says, well, still advantage Texas because
sure.
A bunch of teams have to go on the road. Oklahoma has to go down there, but they already have a win against Texas, so some confidence there. But obviously advantage Longhorns. They have the experience to do it. They have a little, you know, just the momentum is always kind of been there with that team. But I still think Kansas has a lot to say in this race. And more importantly for fans, this team is up there and now involved in the race. And so all those Jayhawk fans were freaking out after the two straight losses to the rivals can calm down.
And what a shrewd move by Self. I mean, who would have thought that he was going to sandbag like that in the beginning and, you know, take all the pressure off the young guys.
Yeah, get everybody hating. Give them a reason to get angry.
No pressure. And then we'll just go in there as a, you know, 6-7 seed in the tournament,
sure,
and we're going to make some noise.
I'm sure that's exactly what he was
doing. Well, also today, Self did grant Downs the release. Everyone kind of knew this was coming. No real surprise here.
Oh, yeah, I guess you have, one of two choices. You release him from that scholarship so you can use it, or you don't release him and then you can't use it. And I'm pretty sure Coach Self would rather bring a player in right now that he can use for next year's squad. And certainly a couple of names out there, you know, that KU is heavily looking at that they hope they can still get for next year late. But, you know, we'll see. There's really not much more to say about Mike.
I mean, the guy had a ton of potential, but it wasn't that big of a loss for Kansas because he hasn't really done anything in a Kansas uniform. He had a couple of good games and a ton of potential, but, I mean,
Kansas fans, you've got Mario Chalmers, who is playing very, very well. You've got Julian Ride, who is starting to show you why he could be a triple-double threat any night out. And you've got Brandon Rush. That's right.
Is he good? Drops,
he's all right. 24 points, ties his career high. He said after the game, boy, I wanted a new career high, but coach took me out, so I couldn't get it. Blames coach for that. But some highlight dunk. You're going to continue to see this guy on ESPN. And they've been ignored because they haven't been ranked, but people are going to have to start paying attention to this team, and that's exciting for KU fans.
And how about the chant, What are KU fans? What are the students thinking? Three more years? Come on. How about three more games?
How about one more year? 2 more months.
Yeah.
2 more months. How about that? Actually, and, oh, yeah, don't forget about the 11 rebounds, which did lead the team. His third double-double.
Just nuts.
Just in case you forgot that, too.
Out of his mind.
It's pretty good.
But Chalmers also, kind of like Rush, kind of took over a couple possessions there in the second half. Was scoreless. Didn't really try to force anything, but got open there. Tried to make that dunk over. I can't remember who it was in the first half.
And he got fouled.
Yeah, he did get fouled.
A couple of weird calls.
But you saw the second time he got the breakaway. Wasn't going to make that mistake. Laid it in. That's also a smart move from a young guy there.
Yeah, absolutely.
He makes that dunk, though. He's number one. Brandon gets kicked out.
Brandon's dunk gets back to like number six because it's not in traffic. Give him something to shoot for, maybe.
Mario can dunk. I've seen it. Well, Sandman can dunk, too.
Well, look ahead now to Oklahoma. Obviously, the Sooners have a game, tomorrow night? I guess before we get there. But certainly the biggest game at the Fieldhouse up to this point of the season. I know we've probably said that a few times, but this one, without a doubt, will go a long way in telling us if this team is going to finish 1, 2, or 3 or 5, 6, 7-ish in there somewhere.
Could be a bigger game than the Super Bowl, even. I mean,
yeah,
when's
Super
the
what? Is that on the same one?
Wow. Oh, I Super probably what? Shouldn't have said that. They should switch the times. I'd rather see Oklahoma KU than Seattle Pittsburgh.
I bet the ratings are higher on that.
They might be.
Well, we won't get into Oklahoma too much. We will ask you guys to come back Thursday night. We're going to bring back Tom Keegan, and we're going to also talk.
Let him out of his cage, feed him some pizza or something.
You know, maybe he got roughed up by Knight last night. I didn't remember seeing him in the workroom.
A minute
afterwards.
28? That was Keegan that timed that, right?
Yeah, I think it was.
A minute 28. Two questions from Bobby Knight afterwards, which is a lot more than some of his post-game press conferences.
Well, he didn't talk against Oklahoma State, so we should probably
Didn't he send out his son?
Yeah, that was weird. Both Sutton and Knight sent out their sons.
They send their alter egos out. Man, those guys got great jobs. They don't have to do much.
I was watching Bob Knight just on the TV last night when he popped up, and he never looked all that angry just because he just knew it was coming.
Well,
I think he knew it was
nothing
coming.
To be angry
no,
about,
I know. Yeah. They were always out of it. There was no reason to be angry because they were out of it from the start. And he said before the game, look, if we don't play a perfect game, I got a feeling this could be ugly. And he hit the nail on the head.
But how fun is it just to watch him? I mean, every reaction that he has, you look over there, he's got his hands in his face. And
well, like a few years ago when the
you're just hoping
the one
something might happen,
asked him about his game face. And he went crazy. He's like, well, I don't even know what a game face looks like. Like making these weird deals. And last night, I think he used them all. They had the one great shot where it was just head down, in hands, looking down. And I think the score was, 85 to 50 about that time. And it was long over.
That was about the time Kleinman checked in.
Yeah, it was. He looked down and said, finally, a guy we can guard. Matt Kleinman got in the game and he went 0-2.
And I think Big Red was fouled on that one.
He was 7-for-10 before, I think, going
was
into
he?
That. Yeah, he was shooting like 70%.
Screwed
so
up his percentage
guy.
Last night. He did grab 3 boards, though, in 5 minutes.
I like Matt Kleinman.
Great guy.
OP, Blue Valley native. I like him.
No, he's from the BV.
He is. Get out on that note. Run.
All right, well, that's going to do it for an abbreviated edition of Spodcasters. Come back Thursday. We will not only be joined by Tom Keegan, who did not get his interview with Bob Knight, but also Ryan Wood, and he will talk about the Kansas football signing day, which is tomorrow. So
it sounds like 24 new Jayhawks tomorrow. I guess 4 of those already in. Some junior college signees, according to Ryan earlier. I talked to him, and he said 20 high schoolers scheduled to sign tomorrow, but you know how these signing days are. You never know. Brandon Duncan wasn't supposed to be here last year, and there he was. So
maybe 25 if John Randall gets back.
I'm not sure how that works in the signing.
I don't know, during spring practice, we better grab a new roster and just look down to find out if there's a number one on there somewhere. Because Theo is gone now.
Maybe
so.
They'll put the X on him.
No X.
All right, that's going to do it for another edition of the Spodcasters. Thanks to Kevin Romery, DJ Wetter, and I'm Andy Samuelson. We will join you Thursday night.
Like what you just heard? Then spread the word about the Spodcasters. It's sportscasting meets podcasting on your computer. No iPod, no problem. You can still get the Spodcasters online. Just point your mouse to kusports.com, click on the Spodcasters logo in the right column, then kick back and listen. Spodcasters, sports talk, online, anytime.